Welcome to episode 54 of Published. Today I'll speak with Greenleaf's digital media strategist, Sam Offman, about book publicity and how it has changed in recent years. Sam will tell us about the impact a strong PR campaign can make for an author and their book, and how you can get started on your PR efforts.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In this episode, we discuss and define traditional versus digital media, and how, particularly over the last year, we've seen a shift in the way authors and publishers approach PR. Sam gives us his insights into the topic and shares how authors can set themselves up for success with their publicity efforts. Let's get into the interview. Sam, welcome to Published.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Happy to have you. So why don't we start by having you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do here at Greenleaf?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I am a new dad, so hopefully we'll be able to edit out any background crying or if I fall asleep in the middle of a question or anything. But professionally speaking, I've been in publishing for about 7 years now. So before I was with Greenleaf, I worked for a pair of independent publishers as a publicist. Now I am a digital media strategist, which makes me sound a lot more tech savvy than I am. My job is to help authors raise awareness of their books and kind of develop their digital presence to help the entire book's campaign and throughout the whole life cycle.
Great. And for people who are not familiar with publicity, can you give us sort of the baseline understanding of what publicity is, how it helps an author, and how it's different than marketing?
One of my old bosses used to say that publicity is just marketing without a budget, which always killed with the publicity people, but the rest of the company didn't like that. But that sometimes that is the difference, because you know, for me, publicity has always meant earned media. So you don't have, I mean, your budget is review copies and postage. It's up to you to convince media members that there's value in featuring an author or their book. In terms of how it can help authors, there's a few ways. I mean, there's obviously the direct idea of publicity where you're raising awareness, gaining exposure, trying to generate word of mouth, all in the effort to drive sales. But there are ancillary benefits too. There's an element of cachet and pride. You feel like you're a more legitimate author when you're doing that show that you've always wanted to be on, and there's value in that. And if I've always found that if it's important to an author, then whether I feel it's necessary or helpful for the book, like, you want that author to feel happy and satisfied with what they're doing. So there's kind of like a side value to fulfilling those aspects of it. And for nonfiction titles, which we do a lot of here, there's value in publicity that's not related to sales. Authors often want to develop their own brand and be featured in particular news outlets for their own career's sake. So there's a lot of potential there as well.
Definitely. And one of the things that I often tell authors when we talk about publicity is that there's a push and a pull that have to happen to sell books, because books are sold returnable. So the push is usually from our distribution team to get books out into retail, listed everywhere, but specifically when they're in brick and mortar sitting on shelves, we need the pull of publicity to create a second sale from a consumer to move those books all the way through the sale process and not be returned. So publicity, in my opinion, is very important, certainly in the beginning, especially as we have a lot of books out in the trade, as we say, to avoid them being returned, and hopefully to create a pattern of reordering and some momentum around the book launch.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in that immediate period around the launch, when you're trying to make that initial pull, a lot of authors will set up events, and publicity can be a great way to kind of leverage those and drive more traffic and foot traffic to signing events too.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, a lot of authors that I speak to, and I'm sure you've encountered this as well, a lot of them are hesitant to hire a publicist because it is not an inexpensive venture, and they are not convinced of the benefits. They are looking for an ROI typically on book sales, and since we can't guarantee publicity, therefore hard to guarantee, and we can't guarantee any ROI or placements for that matter. So what would you say to that author? Have you seen publicity impact book sales specifically, and how would you convince them, if you had to convince them, that it was in their best interest to make that investment?
I would tell them that it's worth it. Because, you know, it's not going to happen on its own. If you wrote a book and you're proud of it, like, you owe it to yourself to give it every chance to succeed. I've had clients who see huge spikes from whether an interview or an influential tweet or, you know, any kind of great plug. So, like, you know that the value exists. It happens all the time. But the goals, like I said, they're not always sales. When I was in traditional publishing, you know, I worked for the publisher. They owned the rights to the book. So it was in my best interest, in my company's best interest, to sell books. My publicity efforts were all geared towards sales. Or at least that's how the company wanted it to be. I had a tendency to kind of take the author and their goals and make them my goals, which is much more aligned with what happens at Greenleaf. So here, selling books is important, and every author wants to sell books, but if their main interest is using publicity to establish their brand, generate new clients, then I'll make that the goal of my campaign, and we'll focus more on outlets that will help them achieve those ends. If you send out a press release and somebody glances at it, or they hear you on a radio interview or a podcast, they may not buy the book. But 2 years later, if something you said sticks in their mind, they might look you up, look up the book, contact me, I'll put them in touch with you. They might be a new client. Maybe they want to hire you as a consultant. And suddenly you have a 20-year business relationship that you would never have really attributed to your publicity efforts. But it's that kind of auxiliary long-term effect that publicity can have that you don't really see up front all the time. So yes, I understand the hesitancy, and it is incredibly difficult to quantify the return on investment, but and like, there are times where I've had extremely successful media campaigns, national syndicated shows, and the sales just aren't there. I mean, sometimes there's breaking news. It just drowns you out. Maybe the market is too saturated. Maybe you have a bad book. I don't know. But like, there are other factors at play. And so like, it's not like there's a one size fits all answer. It's just, you have to understand what's best for you and how you can tailor the campaign to be as effective as possible.
Yeah.
It's what you make of it.
And you said something very important in there, that the book's not going to sell itself. And I just wanted to add, I think I've talked about this on this podcast before, but there is the danger of any author falling into this trap of magical thinking, as I call it. And I did this myself when I wrote my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income. You get through the process of writing it, which for me was a multi-year process. And at the end of it, you think like, oh, I did this very difficult thing, and the universe rewards people who accomplish difficult things. And you think you can just sit back and magic will happen. And it does, like you said, it does not sell itself. It does not work that way. Luckily, I slapped myself in the face pretty quickly and realized, no, you've got to do what everybody has to do when they launch a product, which is support it and get the word out. So I think that's another thing for authors to bear in mind as they approach that decision.
So I actually self-published a book recently, which I wrote kind of just for fun with no commercially viable aspects to it. And I did, you know, the opposite of what I would tell any author to do. I have no platform. I put no effort into it, no money into it. And I said, well, let's just see if this like organically triggers the Amazon algorithm. You never know. I think I sold like 8 copies to my mom, and that's about it. So like, take it from me, like, it's not going to happen on its own.
Okay. So now, to give our listeners some context, you mentioned your title is Digital Media Strategist, and we've kind of talked in passing, or we will at least, about traditional media. And again, to give a baseline understanding for our listeners who are just learning about this part of our business, can you explain what we mean when we talk about traditional publicity versus digital?
Well, the stock reply would be that traditional PR is, you know, broadcast TV, AM, FM radio, print journalism, newspapers, things that existed before the internet. But these days, and every traditional format has a digital edition. I mean, whether it's finding, you know, the local NBC affiliates morning show clips online, or, you know, even like the smallest community newspapers have some sort of, usually not so up to date, but it's there, you know, some sort of online entity. So the lines are certainly blurred. But the difference to me is that consumers of traditional media, they aren't searching out those online entities for, you know, like if you miss something, if let's say you're watching Good Morning America in the background every day on TV, if you miss an episode from last week, you're not going to go search it out online the way you would with a podcast that you are a loyal listener to. So some media that's digital is, it's designed to be digital. It's meant to be discovered that way. And like, if I find a podcast I like, I'm going to go back and binge the entire catalog. If I happen to catch a good AM radio interview while I'm in my car, it's pretty unlikely that I'm going to go say, I wonder who they talked to last week. You know, that's more passive. So I would say that's the main difference for me.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think one of the benefits that sometimes is overlooked with digital, and particularly with podcasts like this one, there's a transcript. And so there's this digital footprint that's left for the long term versus a more fleeting TV interview, a radio interview that's sort of one and done and doesn't have a lasting tail, I guess.
Perhaps the main takeaway of my job is the idea that digital media is evergreen. It's not going away. It's there forever. It's shareable. It's discoverable. And that's kind of the unseen value of most of Greenleaf's marketing and DMM campaigns, is the things you don't realize that they're doing in terms of searchability and providing those lasting, authentic, high-ranking backlinks. Mm-hmm. So even though, you know, the talk radio might put out their podcast version of today's episode, it's not worth as much because no one's going to that page, or far fewer people are going to that page than they are a podcast that is meant to be found that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, many authors are somewhat fixated on this bucket of traditional media. They I laugh at how many people still say they want to be on Oprah to talk about their book. But for folks who are obsessed with sort of, I don't mean to look down on it, but what we would call the old way of marketing books, which would be focusing on TV especially, and then even book tours, you've got a long history of publicity. What have you seen from authors who solely focus on that component of a publicity campaign at the expense of maybe some of these more contemporary approaches like podcasts?
Yeah, it is sort of a generational thing. I found that when I have more experienced authors, they have a tendency to want to do the more traditional book tour. I want to be on the big TV shows, things like that. And they don't realize that these days, the size of the audience doesn't really matter as much. I mean, yes, it's great. Those can lead to a big sales spike, but those tours, you're not reaching people who care about your book, unless you are like a very consumer-friendly national appeal where, like, you know, you make sense to be on a show like that. And there are cases where that's the case, but for the most part, you want to find the subculture that your book is tailored to. I'd rather be on an interview with 300 people that really care and are passionate about my subject matter than, you know, 300,000 that won't buy it and what might be interested for 5 minutes, especially if the host is one of those people who doesn't care. You know, if they're just reading the press release and then asking three questions, there's not as much value there as there is in, you know, finding those 300 people that will all want to read the book. And the host has read the book and has interesting questions. So those conversations are just more in depth. I mean, I booked last year I had an author, a notable author, who had a athletic, political, business history, like extremely important to a major US city, very recognizable name, did all the local TV affiliates, all the big radio shows, features in both the daily newspapers, barely sold any books. And at the same time, I was booking a campaign for a virtually unknown writer who had just enough cachet to, you know, say, I've written for X, Y, and Z. He can get on all of these low-level podcasts. And he said, yeah, book me for all of them. I don't care if they have five listeners. Like, I want to do every single one of them. It's the digital equivalent of selling books out of the trunk of the car. Like, he's willing to hustle. And he outsold the big name probably 5-1. Mm-hmm. In his initial launch week. So, like, yes, if you can get on the NPR national segment or you can get a review in the Wall Street Journal, like, yes, do it. It's going to be helpful because, like, certain audiences are better book buyers than others. But overall, I mean, everything should be phasing into the digital space just because you can really segment and target exactly who you want to reach out to. And you couldn't do that as much in the past.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something else important in there in terms of the resistance sometimes to do some of these smaller shows or to think like, well, and everybody's time is valuable, but sometimes people are telling us, well, I don't want to do that podcast because it doesn't have very many listeners. But there is a follow-on effect and I have a background in media and television production. So I was the person on the other end of the table receiving the pitches, but I know from working in that world that a lot of times the media is looking for evidence that other people in the media have paid attention to something before they consider it. So if you think about it that way, in terms of rationalizing, why would I make the time investment in some of these smaller programs? Because they can lead to the bigger programs is, I think, important for authors to know.
Right. And I say that to our current authors who are engaged in the podcast outreach program, where they all say, I say, do you have any shows that you think you'd be a good fit for that might be receptive to hosting you? And they say, oh yeah, like the number one podcast in America, mm-hmm. the biggest possible shows. And I say, okay, well, their last guest was Michelle Obama. Like, you aren't Michelle. Like, their next guest is Barack Obama. Like, you need to be an Obama to be on this show. And so I don't say that though, but I do say, well, let's start with, you know, trying to land 5-10 of these more niche targeted podcasts. And then when we go to pitch them a month from now, we can say, look at this history of strong interviews this person has done. Like, they are an expert. They have interview experience. And they've kind of built that presence where they Google your name and they see 10 media interviews right away. Like, that helps enormously when you are starting out.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, in terms of what is effective in the digital media space, obviously there's a lot of growth here in the digital side of things. So what would you say to an author trying to figure out where to put their time? What is the most effective trend, I suppose?
I would think that, you know, this is sort of in line with how traditional publishers are acquiring titles now. Everything has skewed towards platform. It's a matter of, you know, more so than the content of the book, it's how many followers does this person have? You know, what can they ask their friend to tweet, buy this book? And that friend can has, you know, 2 million people that say, yeah, okay, and click buy this book. Like, that's the most powerful tool, in my opinion, is that kind of connection and being able to leverage those relationships. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way everything is so segmented and targeted, you can really find audiences now that are exactly the people you want to buy the book. So I would say, like, the trend that I would like to see more of is focusing on that and, you know, foregoing the traditional route. And when I say, like, targeted, I don't mean, oh, it's a sports book, let's do sports radio. I mean, like, if you did a book on, like, advanced baseball analytics, there are outlets where you would reach thousands of people who are extreme baseball nerds. And you make more sense focusing on those five key websites than you do going on ESPN and talking to casual baseball fans, because the casual fans aren't passionate about it. They don't identify with it. The people who identify with the subject matter, who feel like it's a part of them, They're on those five sites. They're the ones who are going to buy the book. So it's really a matter of finding the targeted, shareable content. And when you have those outlets sharing it, the people who are in that community, they see you featured on those pages, and then they know they can trust you. If they see you on ESPN, they're going to think, this guy is, you know, lowest common denominator stuff. I want the in-depth stuff. I want the expert stuff. So it's really a matter of understanding who you're looking for and how to find them.
And what about timeline? I think sometimes authors get caught by surprise at how long in or how far in advance they really need to start thinking about publicity and then choosing a publicist. So what would you advise on that front?
Well, it's kind of both ends of the spectrum. Yes, they're often surprised that they might need to start talking to a publicist when they're still working on the manuscript, so they can really put a plan together so that if they want to do a lot of long lead media and in-depth stories, some of these podcasts book years in advance. I just booked one last week for next July. You know, they have different timelines. Digital media can be, you know, it's kind of the Wild West in a lot of places. You know, like they aren't booking five guests a day for, you know, out of the commercial break. They're booking one guest a month sometimes, and they could be a backlog. Or if you're looking to get involved in the book trade, some of them have 4 to 6 month lead times. They want to see things in advance. So you need to work on that strategy, you know, well ahead of time. But more often than not, I find authors who are so eager to get started when we have to tell them to kind of, you know, hurry up and wait. Like, you've done all the work, you've got this book, you're ready to start promoting, but doing an interview 5 months before a book comes out, people who hear it aren't going to be able to find your book. It's not going to be on shelves. And then when it comes out, the person who hosted you will say, well, we already had you on. So there's kind of, there's dangers on all sides, but honestly, I think the trend is a little bit more towards short lead. At least what I do, especially with broadcast booking, short lead itineraries are very easy. And one thing that's nice about digital compared to print is sometimes there's not as much of a lead time concern with deadlines. It's not a monthly magazine. There's no space limit. If they want, if they have a good story, they can run the excerpt. They can run a Q&A, and they can, if you can get them the replies and the materials, it can be the day after you reach out to them. So it's really, it really depends on the project and the outlets, but yeah, I mean, timelines are, they can be tricky. I would say when it comes to like announcing your book in any kind of pre-publication, kind of like letting your own network know, it depends. I would talk to your publisher first to see what they recommend on whether they're trying to trigger an Amazon algorithm to increase a stock buy or anything like that, what timing they approve of. But if you're worried about alienating your followers, like, you know better than anyone else what your network is going to tolerate, how much they understand your sense of humor. If like you could tweet at them every day to say, hey, don't forget to pre-order, or maybe you just going to space it out every 2 weeks. And the person you're working with, if they know you and they know your book and they know your audience, they can advise the best way to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this is a relationship heavy part of our business. So how would you suggest an author set themselves up for success in terms of working with a publicist and then landing media placements?
This is probably the thing that I feel is one of the skills that makes for a good publicist, also makes for a good author working with a publicist, is you need to be responsive and you need to be on top of things. You know, if you get an opportunity and I reach out to you with it, it helps to have a reply, even if it's letting me know when you are free or when you can get back to me on it, so I can keep media in the loop. They don't like to, if I pitch someone and they say yes and I don't get back to them for a week, they're on to the next one. They're getting a ton of pitches. So when you have a chance to schedule something, you have to prioritize it and you have to stick to it. Another aspect of this is, I think some authors are kind of caught off guard, is you need to be ready to shamelessly promote yourself and call on your friends and your colleagues and ask them for help, leverage your professional relationships, call in all the favors. And some people aren't comfortable with that, and some people relish it. So just knowing in advance that that's going to happen, it can be helpful. Another tip would be doing your homework. If you are going to be on a podcast or you're going to be doing a feature with a journalist, listen to the show, read a recent article, think about how you can steer the conversation back towards your topics that you want to talk about, and just, you know, even practice your replies out loud so you don't trip over your words. Have your top anecdotes ready to go for interviews and be ready to repeat them over and over again because they're your best stuff. So otherwise, I would say do what I didn't do and build your platform. And that's something you have to start well before a publicity campaign. You want to have followers who trust you and care about what you have to say before the book comes out. You want to have that so it seems like you, and hopefully you already have that before you even start writing, but having a platform and having people who are interested in what you have to say and will listen to you when you put out new content is extremely valuable. And you can sometimes even tease the book with little snippets in the weeks leading up to it. Good excuse, start a newsletter, things like that. I mean, we can talk about what to expect and how to best prepare yourself for hours. Mm-hmm. My advice would be talk to Corinne, would be another good one.
Corinne's our director of marketing for people who are wondering who Corinne is. You mentioned listening to the podcast, if you're a guest on a podcast, as an example. And I will tell you, I learned the hard way that that is definitely a requirement to be a proper guest. I was a guest on a podcast, and had I listened in advance, I would have known that at the end of every episode, he did a speed round of questions. And I was wholly unprepared, and I hated my answers afterwards. And I was like, gosh, I know better. Why did I not listen? I would have killed it had I had a chance to think about those responses. Because maybe I'm not quick enough on my feet, but yes,
there isn't going to be a speed round here, is there?
Oh, that would be fun, but no. All right, let's talk about books that have already been released. Some of our listeners may have already had their pub date come and go, and they're thinking, well, is it just gone now? Or is there any way that they can, or any way that if I'm the author, that I can revitalize my sales using publicity? So we would call these backlist titles in the industry. So is there any opportunity there for these authors whose books are already out?
There is. It's usually not as easy of a pitch, but you know, you always work for publishers. So typically I'm working with frontlist titles, and the news and the hook is often, hey, look at this new book. So like that kind of builds itself in. That said, if the content or the author has something relevant and topical, there's certainly no reason not to pitch them for stories. And like this happens all the time, whether it's just landing an expert quote with the saying, oh, here's someone who wrote this book about whatever the news happens to be about. Quick link to the book, quick little quote. There you go. You got a nice plug and it's out there forever. Just a year ago when Black Lives Matter, the movement really kicked off, there was a lot of interest from journalists for stories relevant to that, social justice stories. And I pitched several excerpts from backlist titles from my old company and saw some really successful hits. Hmm. So like you just have to find creative ways to connect the title that you're looking at to whatever's happening today or the author. A lot of authors don't realize that when you're pushing the book, you're really pushing them. Like they are the product as much as the book is, and they need to see themselves that way when they're preparing for publicity.
Yeah, definitely. Great. And I want to circle back to one thing. We were talking about traditional and digital media, and we touched upon, I think, the pros and cons of each. And I don't want our listeners to think that we are suggesting that anybody have a campaign that is solely one or the other, because usually there is a blend. So can you speak to that? Like how, as a publicist, do you look to strike a balance perhaps, or do you, between traditional and digital?
Well, yeah, there's definitely a ton of value in both, and they should be working together. It depends a lot on the author's goals and what the audience is. I consider traditional often I think of it like traditional is fishing with a net, whereas digital can be more like fishing with a spear. So if you have that kind of mass appeal and you think you can just throw the net out and see what sticks, like, great. You might catch a really big fish that way. Earlier, I used the Advanced Baseball Nerd book as an example, and this will be a great example of how to steer conversations to my talking points, like I talked about earlier. That book is what I was reading when I first started with Greenleaf. So I started thinking about at the time how the digital campaign and how Greenleaf does marketing and media compared to traditional publishers with analogies from that book. And I have a very convoluted baseball analogy that I think speaks to this, and we'll see how much of this gets edited out. I've never said this out loud before, so we'll see how it works.
Okay.
So I think of a big traditional media hit as a home run. You know, it has immediate impact. You can win a game and like, it's great. Everyone sees it and talks about it. But if you try to hit a lot of home runs, you're going to also strike out a lot. And, you know, with Greenleaf's effort, with the digital media, it's more like each service is a strong defensive player. And maybe if you put them all together, you get the added benefit of, say, like finding a pitcher who throws a lot of ground balls. So you're enhancing that in a very invisible way. You're not hitting a home run that could win this game, but you have a better chance of making an out on every pitch the entire season. Your book is going to be positioned a little bit better for searchability on Amazon, for, you know, getting more backlinks. All of these things add up to more wins. They may not be as flashy, but, you know, they contribute in a more significant way. And, you know, the best baseball teams are good at defense and hit home runs. So you got to kind of find a way to balance both. I think that came out okay.
I think that works. Yeah. They both create value, but in different ways.
One of them is just very visible, and the other one you would never know about unless you were like really paying attention. Mm-hmm. And honestly, so much today in book sales is manipulating Amazon's algorithms that you really need to have those kinds of elements working in your book's campaign, or you're going to be missing out on opportunities. Mm-hmm. You may not know it, but it's like one of those things in the industry that we talk about all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's super helpful. I like the analogy. I think you should run with it. Well, you've been super helpful today. Do you have any parting advice for our listeners who are considering hiring a publicist or anticipating launching their book and trying to figure out how to optimize that piece of it?
Yes, I have lots of advice, and I won't get into all of it. I'll just say one that I think is probably underpublicized in terms of advice. Authors should think about what they really want out of their publicity campaign. Very often we'll list all of the various benefits that we can try to provide, and they'll say, yeah, I want all of those. Those all sound great. And the result is you end up spreading yourself too thin. It's beneficial to prioritize certain goals, focus on those, and when you achieve success in those aspects, you'll see a snowball effect and the other elements of a media campaign will come into focus as a result of that. So that's one thing to consider. And also, as I said before, like think of yourself as the product, be ready to work. It's not like you don't hire a publicist and then kick back and watch the results come in. Like, be ready to work, be ready to answer emails, be ready to come up with ideas. You know, like you're bringing someone on who's going to be a coach. You are still the player on the field. Think of it that way, maybe. Like, there's only so much I can do on my own. We end up working as a team.
There we go. Staying with the baseball analogies and under-publicized publicity advice. Yes. Very meta.
Well, you know, my baseball team is good this year for the first time in a long time. So I'm excited.
All right, good. Well, Sam, you've been delightful. Thank you so much for joining us on Published.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
That's it for our episode today with Sam. We hope you enjoyed learning about digital media and the new wave of publicity many authors are pursuing. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode54. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. It means a lot to have your feedback and helps us to make sure we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishborn, who produces the Published podcast, and we'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.